We rise. Grace and peace to you in Christ Jesus, whom we can be certain will come because he has come and he comes to us today. Amen. We hear our continuing series of sermons from 1 Thessalonians. As we turn to chapter 4, Paul begins to address those very last things, awaiting our Lord's return. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. We pray. O Lord, make us ready, aware, and hopeful of your return. Amen. By the word of the Lord, dear fellow redeemed, what makes you want to shout? Anger? Sorrow? Urgency? We want to shout in anger, things are not fair. We're fed up with the way things turned out. God owes us something different. We want to shout out in sorrow. Why, Lord? An emptiness has been left in our lives that we think can never be filled. Or maybe we want to shout in urgency. Watch out! Danger is imminent. If we can only do something to change things, if we can only control things, what is it that makes us want to shout? There was something in the wind that day that made me want to shout. It was more than a bitter wind and a piercing rain that howled across that open field just off of Highway 30 south of Aurora. The cars were lined up in the cemetery all along the driveway. And in fact, the rain and the wind were so strong that day that many of the people didn't even get out of their cars to come to the graveside. But it wasn't just the piercing rain. There was something that made people not just want to stay in their car, but drive far away from this scene. It was just a year and a half ago, as our members will remember, that we put one of our members in the grave, Jeffrey Cameron. It was a year and a half ago, and some of us can still feel the bitter void where the wind is howling, of a father who leaves behind three little children and a wife. It makes us want to shout. To shout in anger, not fair. We're fed up with the way things turned out. God had no right. We want to shout in sorrow. There's an emptiness, a void, especially in Melissa's life. What can ever fill it? Why, Lord? It makes us want to shout in urgency. Watch out for you, for your loved ones. You need to take care of yourselves. You need to change things, to take control so this doesn't happen to you. But Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Hope. Hope is the certainty of what God will do in the future. Hope is the certainty of what God will do in the future based on what God has done in the past. Hope is the certainty of what God will do in the future based on what God has done in the past, which changes our lives today. You have been born into it. Peter writes, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There is another shout, and it changes everything. It changes everything. Hope comes with a shout. A shout changes everything, and he will descend from heaven with a shout. As we look into the future, we see Jesus descending from heaven with the voice of an archangel ringing in our ears and the trumpet of God rumbling under our feet as he comes down to judge the living and the dead with a shout. Jesus comes so everyone can see him. And not like some millennialists teach, there aren't two returns. Our text clearly portrays it is one event where the living and the dead are brought together at God's final return. And he shouts, "Come forth!" Some people to everlasting joy, and some people to everlasting sorrow. For some people, this shout terrifies them. It's the virgins of our parable who aren't ready. It's the people that Amos addresses in his book in the Old Testament when he writes, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. You think it's going to be good, but to you it's going to be darkness." To those who have a false sense of security in how much they've achieved for the Lord, how much they've given to church, how much they've gained in their life, it's going to be a day of darkness that terrifies them, where they think they escaped from the bear only to find out they're caught by the lion. But to you, it is something different. Not darkness, but light. In the darkness, drear the one true light. Because you're certain of the shout that is coming, a fulfillment of everything you've been waiting for. He awakens you, even today, in this shout that'll happen in the future. He brings a word that changes everything when he says, "Come forth." From his cross, you know that he looked into the darkness. The darkness of our sins, the darkness of our anger, the darkness of our sorrows, the darkness of our false urgency. And he looked into that darkness, and from his grave he called forth something new, a resurrection to life. So that you are changed, so that Jeff is changed. The mortal puts on immortality and then is brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. To Jesus, it could just be a whisper. But for your sake, it's a shout. Hope comes with that certainty of a shout that is coming. A shout will change everything. In fact, a shout has changed everything. Hope is the certainty of what God will do in the future based on what he has done in the past. So we look back to see what has God done to make us so sure that he's going to come again and save us. Do you ever get the sense that Martha wanted to shout? Martha, who had lost her brother Lazarus. A dear friend of Jesus, Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. Why didn't Jesus come sooner? In John chapter 11, we find Jesus delaying to the point where Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. rotting and decaying and stinking up that grave for 4 days. Why didn't he come sooner? She's fed up with the way things turned out. Maybe she wants to shout in anger. Jesus had no right. He's helped so many other people. Why wouldn't he help his dear friend and her brother? Or maybe she wants to shout in sorrow, an emptiness that is left in her life. Or maybe she wants to shout in urgency, trying to change things. It's as if she wants to shout when she says to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." But Jesus delays. In fact, he delays on purpose. Before he even comes to Bethany, where Lazarus is buried, we find him speaking to his disciples and saying, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there." Jesus says, "I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, that you may believe." Jesus needs to come, and he has come. But Martha, do you have no hope? Do you not see that the one you call Lord is not just another rabbi? You cannot control death. You cannot change it. No matter how much you shout at it, you can't do anything. But Jesus can. He delays on purpose. "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe that I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will never die. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren," Paul says, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Hope comes with a shout. Hope comes shouting at death, and hope shouts at death and looses Lazarus from what once bound him. It loosens his linen, it loosens him from death itself. When Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth," nothing can hold him back. Hope comes with a shout from the past. A shout changes everything. Or does it? What has really changed for you? What good has it done that Jesus says, "I'm going to descend from heaven with a shout sometime, who knows when"? What good does it do for you that Jesus shouted to Lazarus' grave and brought him back from death? What good does it do to you today? No matter how much you shout, nothing seems to change. There was something in the wind that made us want to shout. It was more than the bitter winds and the piercing rain that howled across that field. There was a bitterness that pierced us all. Not only did it make you want to stay in your car, it made you want to drive away. It made you want to shout. Do you ever want to shout? Shout in anger? Not fair? Things could be different. Things should be different. Why has God let this happen? Shout in sorrow. Why, Lord? An emptiness in your life that you can't seem to fill. Shout in urgency. Oh, it's time to take control. Watch out. Don't let this happen to you now. If you take the right precautions, you could make a difference. It makes us want to shout. But Jesus says, "I'm glad for your sakes I was not there." He says, "I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, that you may believe, that you may believe that I am the resurrection and the life, despite what you see with your eyes, that you may have hope, the certainty of what will happen in the future based on what has happened in the past, which changes the way you live today." And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, seals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong, alleluia. There is a shout, another shout, which changes everything. For Christian, it is hope in the midst of all the other shouting. A shout which comes on the last day, which echoes in days gone by, which impacts your life today. Yes, comfort one another with these words, Paul says. This is the voice that descends from heaven in the Word today, and it's the Word that brings us hope. And we grow brave as the distant triumph song gets closer and closer, the more we consider God's promises, consider His Word, comfort one another with these words, that distant triumph song that Jeff will sing, that you will sing, comes close. We will get angry. We will get sad. We will get this idea that our sense of urgency can protect us from bad things. But now we shout. We shout the words, He has died, He is risen, He is coming again. We shout at our anger, He is risen. We shout at our sorrow, He is risen. We shout at our false sense of being in control of everything, He is risen. He has died, He is risen, He is coming again, He is Lord of all. And God will awaken all who sleep in Jesus and bring together all saints, catch them up all together into the air on that last day. It would take nothing more than a whisper, but for your sake, it's a shout. And the shout lives on. There was something in the wind that made us want to shout that day. It was more than the bitterness of the wind or the piercing rain that howled across that field. It was death. Death howled across that field. Death with all its ugliness, which took Jeff. But the shout lives on. As I stood by the graveside and death howled across that field, I had to literally yell so that the people just feet away could hear what I was saying. I had to shout the words of that committal service in order for Melissa to hear me. And who even knows, in the midst of everything going on, if she could hear me. But I had to shout those words, and we need to keep on shouting those words. That Jeffrey sleeps, but Jesus comes that He may awaken him. And so I'll end with the words from that committal service. From the pages which are still wrinkled from the rain that day. We grieve in hope. The Apostle Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be brought up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." Yes, dear Christians, hope comes with a shout. Amen.